Welcome to Unknown Sounds.
The following is a little broadcast organized by the Unknown Sound Collective. It is intended as a radio archive of experimental artists' interior worlds, these that are externalized through their work and the interchange through artists' communities. This is a contemporary archive of experimental art making in communities around the world, and the social change this may or may not represent. In short, it is intended mostly as a look into these small worlds, with the idea of generating more thought and how art can engender hope. Each section here is meant as a studio visit, but also a glimpse into the doings of a wider community.
Yo, got the mic in the middle, let me spit on this griddle.
Boom! Noah Amson and Rory Spencer here.
Hi, I'm Rory Spencer.
And I'm Noah Amson.
And I'm Rory Spencer.
And we're recording from Glasgow.
Efficiency. Okay, we are creative collaborators. And we're going to introduce our almost finished trilogy of works from the last year. Beginning with a narrative experiment. Then going on to collecting people and finishing with a discussion about, or just a, not a discussion.
Not even a discussion.
Just an actor's roundtable.
I can't believe you called it a discussion.
Well, we don't really discuss things.
Or you just called it a discussion.
It's called Why Is It? I guess I'll say a little bit about us. Do we need to?
Well, we can do.
I have been an artist for a little while. Noah is studying medicine.
Rory.
I'm sat right in front of Noah, by the way.
Literally, Rory has a great new haircut.
Thanks. Noah's annoyed because she didn't do it.
We're discussing the trilogy of ongoing work. We started with a narrative experiment.
It was never meant to be a trilogy. I just want to say that. We just started working together, and this is the third one. Therefore, it's a trilogy.
Therefore, it's a trilogy.
But if we make work after this...
It could be a quadrilogy.
All of the works have had, I think, including the theme of kind of... thinking about the other's response. I think anyway, okay. To this TBD, and my voice is cracking.
TBD. So we started off...
That's to be discussed.
That's to be discussed, thank you. So we started off this kind of, the first work, actually as a task given to us by...
Oh no, we gave it to ourselves.
Well, we gave ourselves a task.
Yeah.
To document...
Our art collective.
We met through an art collective.
We met through an art collective.
And our task was to the task that we tasked ourselves with was documenting said collective's activity.
Over a month.
Over a month, every single day, time stamped, date stamped.
Relating to the activity of the collective and the activity of documenting.
And
there were some other rules, like only in the third person, but we sort of abandoned those.
Very early on.
Because they were, found it hard not to talk about ourselves.
What we ended up doing with it is, what the piece turned into was sort of an ongoing documentation of actually ourselves over 30 days. And then what happened?
I think we just printed it out and stuck it up in the most public place that we could.
So very important to note that all of our work is public.
Yes.
That is actually probably one of the fundamental tenets of our work.
Yeah, it has to be outside.
Has to be outside, has to be...
We were just kind of like...
Interactable.
We like this one spot on the street.
The gallery, we
the
call
gallery.
It.
The gallery. Enjoy this clip from A Narrative Experiment.
May 23rd, 8:46, Cross Hill, north of Dixon Avenue and Road. The sky unthoughtfully dumps its woes, and I stand on the concrete and I receive them. Through my crinkly jacket, through my ugly placement jumper... through my epidermis, ooh. Even if I don't want it to, the dampness penetrates my mood.
21:12, a full day, too full for documentation. The number 7 bus was host to some static filming of people's feet and passing tails on the street. Phone screen is on the fritz, so I have been unable to observe any, if any, DO activity in the signal chat. But it's soaking wet outside, which always seems to quieten the revolutionary activity. Long live the revolution. When I've had a spare moment, the thoughts have been of broadsides again. What would a DO newspaper resemble? 2218. What would have happened if Tony Wilson was never at the Lesser Free Trade Hall?
May 24th. 8:26. Mount Florida, north of Dixie. Broadside, broadside everywhere, in my head and in my hair. And just like broadsides, nor here nor there. Oh, the broadside, a platonic form of documentation. Beautiful in form, so much that the content hardly matters anymore. 12:34. Screen got frazzled, then patient came in. CBA writing the rest of this entry. Inspiration lost.
2042. Broadsides also back on my mind. There are very few things you can't print on them, except, of course, very long pieces of text like The Lord of the Rings or full-length portraits like ones by Lucian Freud and Sickert, and more than a few scanned copies of bus tickets. Freddie and Chris have been working on our website today, and Freddie reiterated the need for facilitators at our meetings. As nice as it is hanging out, DO needs to remain active and make things happen, trademark. And a facilitator helps keep things on track. Wrote some extracurricular documentation in the style of our time-stamped meeting notes last night. Documentation ended just after 2 a.m, so you can imagine the sort of gibberish I was coming out with. Fatigue and burnout loom as ever.
May 25th, 2334, Dixon Avenue, in the home. As previously stated by Rory, the main collective activity over the past day has been via the signal chat with regards to getting the website up and running. The show must go on, and it must be documented as it does so. It was a big day, long day, with lots of content, outer, and non-content, inner, to report back on. The Celtics were playing the Rangers in the Hampden Stadium, and the city air had an electric tingle to it, like those high-pitched noises emanated by the little boxes at corner shops in America designed to dissuade teenagers from loitering. The buzz is quasi-inaudible, but permeates every interaction and movement and thought. I was kind of distracted all day long, and so was bathed in this buzzing feeling rather than being acutely observant of the moments it generated. I'm going to list the three that stood out to me. 1. Two dogs fighting or playing, difficult to tell, with each other, on the bit of pavement at the corner of Victoria Road and Dixon Avenue. They are of comparable size, and there is no obvious winner or loser. Perhaps they are even having fun. One of the owners is in full Celtics attire, his green stripes accentuated by the gingery pallor of his skin, whilst the other fellow was a Ranger supporter, dressed down, probably due to being in semi-Celtic territory. The men didn't look at each other, or speak, and only communicated through their dogs. 2. A father, assumed to be drunk or very uncoordinated, in full Celtic kit, holding his less than 6-week-old baby, whilst chasing down a laddie youth down Argyle Street after he'd apparently said, "I'm not a Tory, but long live the Queen." 3. Man in Celtic uniform somersaults from the top of QP, Queen's Park, all the way down to Queen's Drive, including over the tarmac strips and paths that draw hard little snakes through the grassy somersaulty softness. These are all content, or outer, observations. My inner observations were mostly spent obsessing over Chris Krause's literary and artistic genius, and reading her novels and biography, and then tangentially reading about her husband and entourage and career path, and that weird performance where she simulated having sex in the Catskills, and her bad film and her dazzling intellect, and wondering if I should have been born 50 years later so that I could actually be a reincarnation of Chris Krause rather than a desperate fan. I also walked a lot, which is usually a good thing, but sometimes can leave me feeling a bit overwhelmed with my thoughts, and I plan a million projects and ideas and pieces and interventions in my head on the walk, but then I get back and I've done none of them. I've just been on a long walk, and so I'm too tired, which makes me feel like I'm not doing my practice, and then I feel like a fake artist slash writer slash person in a very general sense, from which follows the loss of self, loss of, I could go on. So if nothing else, at least I wrote this entry.
23:38. Nudged by Noah just in time, but I'm actually taking a day off.
May 26th, 1827. Dixon Avenue, Vicky Road End. The day began with the kind of rain that looks and penetrates the body like sea spray getting blown off the front of a ship. It was bright wet grey, which is my least favourite kind of weather. Bright wet grey, egging you on. Try and feel cheerful in this, I dare you. I told Bright Wet Grey to fut the shuck up, a great spoonerism. But my brain disagreed and then proceeded to let the Bright Wet Grey take over. The chat was mildly active, with Elle saying she'd send Freddie the documentation tomorrow. Anyway, I was in the flat, brooding and feeling terrible most of the day. Around 1600, I went for a walk in my long green coat, on which rainwater beads into fat grapes, feeling like a hybrid between Simone Veil and Shrek. I possibly walked by Chris, who was reading at Chibo, but I was not in the mood to speak to anyone that I walked straight by, admitting this here, yes, mea culpa. I tried to call my mum because I hadn't spoken to her in a while, and for some reason when I'm feeling bad, my biggest irrational anxiety is that my mum will find out that I'm feeling bad, at which point I usually either push off communication for as long as possible, which makes me feel awful, or I phone right away to reassure her that all is well. Even though there is no way of her knowing I'm feeling off, I get this feeling that she knows it, probably because at some point we were connected by the fat white cord known as the umbilical cord, and then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy where she senses I'm off because I'm actually off, thinks she can always tell, then sometimes when I'm actually good and fine and happy, she decides that her spidey senses are tingling and has a well-intended, ill-placed intervention, which never goes well, etc., etc. This early calling technique is superior. It's a bit like ripping off a band-aid. I get it over with, my fear is upended, and I can focus on how I'm feeling, rather than how my mother is feeling. The whole thing is incredibly Freudian now that I write it out, and I can't believe it to be true. Is this what documentation is meant to be? A collection of words describing the impact of bright, wet grey on our moods and aspirations and relationships with our mothers? Since the walk, I'm feeling slightly better, and I've just had an idea about presenting this documentation project publicly as Dio. Obviously, there's the website, amazing, Metsuyen. Metsuyen, as it means excellent in Hebrew. But I was thinking of something more physical. And public. And random. And spatially relevant. Something along the lines of printing off this documentation on a long and continuous narrow piece of paper if possible, and photographing it around Govan Hill. Or on several sheets, and pasting it all over and photographing it, and leaving a number to call, to text, if they liked it or not. The number isn't actually to know if they liked it, it's more to gauge engagement and make it interactive. If possible, photograph people reading it. What do you think of this? Suddenly turns this collective-turned-personal documentation project into a tangible physical thing. We'll present this idea on Tuesday, I think, and see what everyone is feeling.
2017 trumpet emoji. Say yes.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed that.
Hope you enjoyed that very much.
Well, at least... Well, I hope you enjoyed it. I don't really care. I hope you listen to it, but only so that you can now listen to this bit, which is actually, because I don't care about that work anymore because it's like a year old.
Collecting people was even more accurate than a narrative experiment, weirdly.
That was much more, I think once we eschewed this like burdensome responsibility of talking about other people, or like feeling like we had to talk about the actions of other people, we could just talk, and we gave ourselves a project where we could just talk about people and how we saw them,
our interpretations of the world around us,
like exactly.
It's sort of like our
and people we'd seen,
so yeah. Okay, collecting people was each one of us.
Oh yeah, how did it look?
So Rory was here in Glasgow, I was in Tel Aviv, and we each recorded one person for 28 days. So each of us recorded one person for 28 days
on the same day,
and Rory did it here very locally, and I did it far away.
Mm.
And actually, we ended up recording very similar things. Like, people are kind of the same everywhere, which is one of the main takeaways.
Yeah, I think that was the kind of what we wanted to present. Because we did go into it with, like, an outcome in mind. We knew what it was going to look like.
Yeah.
We were going to display the two portraits, text or image, mostly text. Alongside one another, with the same date at the top, above each portrait, but at different locations below.
So how did it present itself?
Okay, so then we, using that gallery we mentioned earlier, this shop front, this disused shop mm-hmm. front, we pasted up, what was it, 28 A3 sheets,
mm-hmm.
totaling 56 portraits.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got... In a kind of like calendar layout.
In exactly a calendar
in
layout.
In exactly a calendar layout for the month. That was just a fun little...
That was a fun little twist.
Graphic twist.
Well, so then when...
So it was an evolving work.
So we left the work up for what? About a month? I think
Yeah, it was like a month.
We left it up for about a month, after which we decided to do a performance
that
lasted 28 minutes.
Yes.
That involved 7 prompts,
mm-hmm.
1 for each day of the week, roughly. Yeah, I did. I calculated. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So I did like 7. So there were 7 prompts, 1 for each day of the week. And the whole performance lasted exactly 28 minutes.
Yeah.
Because it is exactly 28
days. Oh, yeah, that
was
a tight deadline.
Yeah. And
you'll hear when we play it for you.
It was really tight.
You can hear us skipping through it.
You can hear us really.
Hand in hand.
So what we would do is we had our lovely, what did we call her? Alicia. Facilitator.
So we had like 2 bar chairs and. Alicia was sat, our facilitator.
And she was fielding the questions, giving us 3 minutes to answer them, and then we read for 1 minute off of the work.
Yeah, we read like an excerpt.
Of the work.
Did we just randomly choose?
Randomly chosen. Yeah. And that was for 7 times we did that.
Yeah.
And it was interactive with the people on the street.
Like, yeah, we got quite a few interactions. I think that one guy, Ahmed, this guy sat down for like half of the performance.
Yeah, he stayed for ages.
Yeah, he was talking on some of the tracks.
Well, you want to hear Ahmed speak?
Yeah, let's listen to Ahmed.
Let's
hit
it.
And us.
And us.
And probably a bit of Alicia as well.
Thanks, Alicia.
Thank you.
Shout out to Alicia.
It's like method acting. Like, life is actually like method acting.
Like it's all writing, self-indulgent, why or why not?
Yeah, I don't know, I think all art is kind of self-indulgent.
All writing is self-indulgent.
All writing, self-indulgent!
One documentation set was recorded hyperlocally and one was recorded further afield. In a potentially contentious place, what would the impact of the work... Would the impact of the work be different had the recording been in the same place?
Me and Noah did all this writing when she was away and I was here.
Sorry. One documentation. What's your name?
Ahmed.
Ahmed. One documentation was set was recorded hyperlocally and one was recorded further afield in a potentially contentious place. Would the impact of the work be different had the recording been in the same place?
I guess you're involving other people.
Our durational work
but you are using
has been up to 3 weeks.
You're using them as a means, a point of inspiration.
How are you feeling?
Do you feel used one? Have you seen it yourself?
This installation if I wrote something about you and you discovered it,
would you feel used?
Hello, we're back.
I'm not going to make a mistake this time of saying I hope you enjoyed it.
I kind of enjoyed that one. I enjoyed collecting people more than I enjoyed a narrative experience.
Yeah, that was a real penance.
And I really like this performative aspect, this performance aspect. So why is it?
Just like that conversation we just had, why is it is unfinished. One day me and Noah were sat in a local favourite cafe called Portal, Big Up Alley.
Big Up Alley.
And Noah asked me the question, why is it? And I was like, why is it what? And Noah's like, no, why is it? And then she just kept repeating this over and over and over again and told us it was going to be our next project. And I agreed. And then nothing really happened for a while because we're both busy. And then I just, on the spur of the moment, made Noah and I a pad, like a stationary pad each that said, why is it, on 28 sheets of paper. The idea was to spend 28 days writing 28 prompts, one a day, that start, each prompt starts with the prefix why is it, and it'd be like, why is it that trees grow up and not down? That's not one of them.
But that could have been one
of them.
Easily one of them.
I wish
I wrote that. I wish I'd written that prompt.
Yeah, I made pads for me and Noah, We spent 28 days
writing prompts
in seclusion.
Yes, in seclusion.
Writing each other prompts. 28 days pass, and then we swap the pads and begin the process of replying to the questions one at a time, mm-hmm. like one a day. That was more just so we didn't get overwhelmed with trying to answer 28 questions at once.
Mm-hmm.
Because these were all A4 sheets, and that's a lot of, it's a lot of writing.
It's a lot of writing.
And we're busy people.
Very busy.
I'm a caretaker at church, and Noah?
I've got many activities.
Wow.
Yeah,
she's
many.
So mysterious.
I'm really mysterious in that way.
I can't tell you how popular Noah is in the south of Glasgow. The more things you have on, the more popular you are.
Play hard to get. And then, because we couldn't really be bothered to read, like, what are we going to do with this work?
Yeah, I couldn't be bothered to read.
I barely read it, because I was like...
I barely finished it.
I barely finished it, exactly.
Emotionally exhausted.
It was a lot of work. It was, you
just
know...
Just to recap, me and Noah were writing to each other for 56 days in a row.
56 days in a row we wrote to each other.
Yeah. That's a lot.
It's a lot. But big ups to us. I felt like every aspect of these projects, there's been at some point a bit of a perfunctory element.
Yeah.
Because it has been... The main rule has been recording something for 28 days
yeah.
in a row, or 56 in this case. So it, but I think in order to come up with a big body of work, or not even a big body of work, but any, like a body of work that's consistent at all, sometimes you have to be a bit like diligent.
Yeah, well, I guess we had to work.
We had to actually do the work instead of just like talking
about
doing
the work. What we're complaining about right now, what I'm complaining about is working.
Is actual
which
work.
Which is what I've been doing for 30 years. Gave it to an AI. They said some clever stuff about it, which is they're going to read to you now.
We're going to read to you very shortly.
But the AI has commissioned another AI to read it to you. And that's so we'd now like to introduce Charlotte.
Okay, I understand. You want me to treat the entire 56 pages of transcribed text, 28 days times two people, as a single cohesive document. And then, after reading it, answer the fundamental question, why is it? This is a significant challenge, but I will give it my best shot. Caveats. Inherent limitations. As an AI, I cannot truly understand the human experience. I will be relying on patterns and relationships within the text, but my interpretation will necessarily be limited. OCR errors. The OCR errors may obscure some of the intended meanings, and I will have to make educated guesses in certain places. Lack of context. I have no knowledge of the author's lives, backgrounds, or the nature of their relationship beyond what is presented in the text. After synthesizing the content of all the pages, the following themes and struggles emerge. A. Core themes. The search for meaning and purpose. Both. Writers demonstrate a persistent desire to understand the why behind their feelings, actions, and experiences. They grapple with existential questions about the nature of life, love, beauty, and creativity. They have a hard time describing these things or getting their intent across. The complexity of human relationships. The document explores the intricacies of relationships. Romantic, platonic, familial, and even with oneself. They explore feelings of love, longing, connection, disconnect, obligation, admiration, and frustration. The nature of creativity and expression. The writers grapple with the creative process, artistic expression, self-doubt, and artistic expression. They examine the tension between internal vision and external limitations. How to portray yourself, the difficulty and ease. Self-reflection and introspection. The prompt forces the authors into a constant state of self-reflection, examining their thoughts, emotions, and motivations. This process is often uncomfortable, leading to feelings of vulnerability, anxiety, and self-criticism. The passage of time and the inevitability of change. The authors are aware of the fleeting nature of time and the changes it brings. There is a sense of nostalgia, a fear of loss, and a desire to capture fleeting moments. Balance and connection with the outside world. The author struggles with whether to enjoy self or do what they should be doing. The dichotomy of beauty and decay. The authors note that while both beautiful and ugly things exist, many might not be what they appear to be. B core struggles, self-doubt and imposter syndrome. A recurring struggle for both writers is a feeling of inadequacy, a fear of not being good enough, and a sense of being an imposter. They struggle to articulate themselves and feel they cannot achieve an adequate picture of their intent. Vulnerability and intimacy. Both writers struggle with vulnerability and intimacy, finding it difficult to express their true feelings and connect with others on a deeper level. They both struggle with knowing what to title their work and what to say in general. Perfectionism and self-criticism. A tendency toward perfectionism and self-criticism prevents the authors from fully embracing their creative endeavors and enjoying the present moment. If you love something too much, how can you be objective? Reconciling idealism and reality. The authors struggle to reconcile their ideals with the realities of life, leading to feelings of disappointment and disillusionment. Is life more or less than we see? Fear of the unknown and uncertainty. They grapple with the uncertainty of the future and the fear of the unknown. What awaits us after what we know? The constant change of life is one of the few true things we have. Expressing the nuances of life. The beauty and ugly side of human emotion and experience can be hard to describe. Reconciling what is now with what the future will be. Commitment to one path and self-doubt. The pull towards exploring multiple possibilities versus the desire for a singular, focused purpose. Meaning versus loneliness and comfort. What is more important? They both struggled to describe how each impacted them. Answering, why is it? Given the themes and struggles identified above, here is my attempt to answer the question, why is it? Using themes pulled from all the writing, the persistent questioning, why is it? Stems from a fundamental human desire to understand ourselves, our relationships, and the world around us. It reflects a recognition that life is complex, messy, and often contradictory. More specifically.
Okay, hey, okay.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you, Charlotte.
That's
lots of love.
Lots of love.
From recording from the church studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is
in the name of God. The church studio. In the name of Hashem. Baruch Hashem.
Thank you, Noah.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.